My talk will be looking at how ecosystem services can be influenced by landscape change, and in this case, the landscape change is an increase in corn production due to increased ethanol demand. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors on this presentation, Doug Lannis at Michigan State University, Wolke Vanderwerf, who's an ecological modeler at Wageningen University in the Netherlands, and Scott Swinton, who's an agricultural economist at MSU. So as Dr. Losey discussed in his presentation, insects provide a large range of ecosystem services, which Losey and Vaughn valued at over $57 billion per year. These include pollination services provided by native pollinators, valued at over $3 billion a year, and biological control services of native pests, valued at $4.5 billion per year. And these services are provided by insects throughout landscapes, which are mosaics of crop and non-crop habitats. And within agricultural fields, farmers rely on pollination and biological control services, often without realizing the true value that these services provide in terms of yield loss averted and management costs averted. And within agricultural landscapes in the north central U.S., one of the abundant habitats are soybean fields. And the satellite photo is of a county in southern Michigan, and the dark green areas are soybean fields. So you can see they make up a significant part of the agricultural landscape. And you would see similar aerial or satellite images if I looked across much of the north central U.S. And within these fields occurs a relatively new invasive species, the soybean aphid, which has been present since 2000 and has now spread throughout the soybean growing regions of the U.S. and Canada. This pest can reach outbreak levels and cause significant yield loss and require pesticide applications on an annual basis. And so luckily, there are a number of generalist predators which will supply biological control services to suppress this pest. And these insects include coccinellids, both native and non-native species, true bugs, lace wings, and predatory flies. And several studies have looked at the diversity and abundance of these species and their impact on soybean aphid within soybean fields. But we're really interested in how the landscape surrounding soybean fields would influence the provision of these organisms into fields and the amount of biological control service that they would provide in suppressing soybean aphid. And so in this talk, I'll be presenting some work from my PhD and postdoc looking at how to measure biological control service that's supplied to soybean growers to suppress this pest, how to calculate the value of biological control service supplied to soybean farmers, and then looking at how landscape structure and landscape changes can influence the value of biological control service. And so the first step was to determine how much biological control was supplied to soybean fields. And this was a study that I conducted with a group of collaborators across the four-state region of Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa in 2005 and 2006. And we were interested in if the amount of biological control service supplied to soybean fields throughout this region varied and if it was influenced by landscape. And so what we did was we went and selected 23 sites across this four-state region. And when fields reached an average of 10 aphids per plant, we set up a paired treatment to measure biological control. We had an open plant treatment where predators could access aphid populations and an exclusion cage treatment where aphid populations could grow in the absence of predators. Both of these started with 10 aphids per plant, and then we sampled them at 7 and 14 days after establishment, and we had 4 reps of these in each of the 23 sites. We compared these results to the landscape by obtaining aerial photographs with a radius of 3.5 kilometers surrounding our soybean field. And then we determined all of the crop and non-crop habitats which were present within this landscape by just driving around and figuring out what was planted there or what type of non-crop habitat was growing in that part of the landscape. And what we found was predators supply significant biological control service to soybean fields. This figure shows the number of aphids per plant at day 7 and day 14 of the paired cage study. And you can see at both day 7 and day 14, there were fewer aphids in the open plant treatment and the presence of predators. But when we looked at the amount of biological control that was supplied to each of the 23 sites, we saw a lot of variation. I mean, some sites there was more biological control and a larger difference between the caged and open plant treatments than in other fields. And so we wondered if this would be related to the landscape that was surrounding the field. So in order to compare biological control to the landscape, we developed a simple measure of biological control service called the Biological Control Services Index, or BSI, and I'm going to be talking a lot about BSI through the remainder of the presentation. And BSI was just the relative difference between the caged and open plant aphid counts on day 14 of the study. And when we related BSI to the surrounding landscape, we found that the overall heterogeneity of the landscape was the strongest predictor of biological control service. So landscapes that were really diverse and had a lot of different crop and non-crop habitats supplied more biological control service of soybean aphid than landscapes which were very simple, as in this case, and dominated by mostly corn and soybean fields. So as I was analyzing all of the data from the 2005 and 2006 sampling seasons, we saw a major landscape change occur across our four-state study region, and that was a major increase in corn production due to increased demand for ethanol. And corn across this region increased between 12 and 20% in 2007, and we were interested in how this change in landscape may influence our BSI, or our Biological Control Services Index. So recall that there was a positive relationship between BSI and overall landscape heterogeneity. So we wondered, well, how would BSI be related to the proportion corn in the landscape? So we took a look at that and found that it was negatively correlated, strongly negatively correlated with the proportion of corn. So landscapes with small amounts of corn supplied more biological control service to soybean fields than landscapes dominated by corn. So given this relationship, we wanted to know, well, what was the value in the economic value of biological control service that was supplied to soybean fields in our 2005 and 2006 landscapes, and how may that value have changed with increased corn production that we saw in 2007? So we sat down and figured out what were the steps that we would need to be able to take to get from our BSI values to getting an economic value for biocontrol service. And the green boxes indicate data that we had in hand from our experiments. And for the 2005 and 2006 data, we knew our BSI values based on our 14-day aphid counts in the 23 sites. But in order to calculate the value of biocontrol service, we would need to project aphid populations in the field in the presence and absence of predators across the rest of the season. And then we would need to translate this aphid abundance into yield loss to get the value of biocontrol service. And we were able to project our aphid populations beyond our 14-day study using an aphid population dynamics model developed by Costamagna et al. In 2007. And then translate the cumulative aphid density that we saw in each of these fields to crop loss using a crop loss model developed by Ragsdale et al. Also in 2007. Then the next step was, being that we didn't actually conduct field experiments in 2007, we needed to know how our BSI values would be changed by this increase in corn. And so we just used the regression equation between proportion corn and our BSI value. We increased corn by the percentage increase recorded for that state in which the site was sampled, then inserted this new proportion corn into the equation to get our new BSI values, and then just followed the remainder of the steps. And I'm just going to go through these steps in a little bit more detail. So we began to estimate the value of biocontrol service, starting with our BSI values calculated from the 23 sites that we sampled in 2005 and 2006. Then, in each of those cases, we increased corn by the percentage increase recorded for the state in which it was sampled and recalculated the BSI values for these 2007 increased corn biofuel landscapes. And what this caused to happen was our biocontrol services index was smaller, and so the number of aphids in the presence of predators was greater because there was less biological control service supplied to these fields. So we now had 23 sites under the 2005-2006 landscape conditions and 23 sites where we had calculated a new biocontrol service in the presence of increased corn. Well, the next step was to project aphid populations beyond the 14 days of our study, and we did this using the Costamagna et al. Soybean growing degree day aphid model. And we did this for two different grower scenarios. One was a biocontrol-only scenario where growers relied only on natural control of soybean aphid, and the second was an IPM scenario where growers used insecticides when aphid populations exceeded the threshold for soybean aphid, which is 250 aphids per plant. We inserted a four-day spray delay as a realistic grower response. They would have to either get a scouting report or go out to their field, determine that the field was above threshold, and then either schedule or perform an application of insecticide. And so this is an example from one field of what the model would predict. Notice the difference in scale for the biocontrol and the IPM scenario. The brown lines are aphid population growth in the absence of predators, and the blue are aphid populations in the presence of predators. And you can see in the biocontrol scenario, aphid populations exceed 5,000 per plant before declining due to decreasing plant quality. In the presence of predators, they exceed about 2,000 and then begin to decline in the biocontrol scenario in this particular site. In the IPM scenario, what you're seeing here is aphid populations exceeding threshold, a four-day spray delay, and then an aphid drop due to insecticide application. We assumed a 98% efficacy rate and a seven-day window following the spray where aphid populations could not increase. And then after that time, they would either begin to increase again or decrease depending on the quality of the host plant at that time of year. And in this particular example, you can see that here predators delayed aphid populations from exceeding threshold, but in the presence of predators, this particular site was also sprayed out. Well, the next step was to translate these aphid populations into cumulative aphid days. And this was done by integrating the area under the curve. And then we calculated yield loss using a yield loss function developed by Ragsdale et al., where we inserted cumulative aphid days into that formula and were able to determine our yield loss. We estimated yields using 10-year median yields for each of the sites that we studied. These were averaged between 1997 and 2006. And then we also had to estimate some management costs for our IPM scenario, and we estimated a scouting cost of $5 per hectare, and we used a mid-rate pesticide application cost presented by Ragsdale et al. Of $24.50 per hectare. We used two soybean aphid prices. One was a median price for soybean over the last 10 years, and the second was the 2007-2008 USDA price projection, which I'm going to be presenting those data here, and that was $380 per megagram, or $10.40 per bushel. And so for our biocontrol scenario, we estimated our total cost to just be equal to our yield loss. For our IPM scenario, the total costs were equal to both yield loss and our management costs. And the value of biological control service was equal to total costs without natural enemies minus total costs with natural enemies. And this is what we found. This first result shows the amount of fields reaching threshold in our 2005-2006 data, and then in our increased corn 2007 landscapes. And you can see that the amount of fields exceeding threshold increased from about 30% in 2005 and 2006 to about 43% in 2007. And this figure shows the value of the biological control service that we were able to calculate. We have value of biological control in U.S. dollars per hectare on the Y for both the biological control and the IPM scenario. The black bars are the existing landscape conditions that were present during our actual field study in 2005 and 2006. The white bars are represent the landscapes with increased corn for 2007. And I want to point out three things about this figure. First, you'll see that the biological control service supplied under the biocontrol-only scenario was higher than that for the IPM. So growers that relied only on natural control throughout the season, regardless of aphid populations, received a greater economic value of biological control. But we did still see a value of biocontrol service supplied to growers who used insecticides once the aphids reached threshold. The second thing was that there was a lot of variability between 2005 and 2006. In 2005, we saw aphid populations outbreak throughout the majority of our study region. Aphid populations were very high as compared to 2006, where we saw very low aphid populations. aphid populations, we started our field cage study when aphid populations reached 10 per plant. They reached 10 per plant much later in 2006. Therefore, they did not increase to as much of an extent as we saw in 2005, and predators did not cause as much of a difference in the open plant treatment as compared to the caged plant treatment. The third thing is that in the presence of increased corn, the value of biological control services decreased. So for the biocontrol-only scenario, these numbers represent this average. So in the existing landscape conditions in 2005 and 2006, we estimated the value of biological control to be $196 per hectare. This was reduced to $103 per hectare in the presence of increased corn. For the IPM scenario, we estimated the value to be $33 per hectare, decreasing to $25 per hectare in the presence of increased corn production. So if you look at the value of this service to all of the soybean acres that were produced across our four-state region, we found a value of biological control services valued at $239 million for the 2005-2006 landscapes if all growers across that region used an IPM scenario with a four-day spray delay. If all growers relied only on biological control, the value was $1.4 billion. The value lost in the increased corn scenarios ranged from $58 billion in the IPM scenario up to $671 million in the biocontrol-only scenario. And so these values are estimates based on the sites that we sampled, and we feel that based on grower practices, that the true values are going to be much closer to the IPM estimates than the biocontrol-only estimates. But this gives a range depending on how what farmer practices may be. So in conclusion, we found that biological control was a valuable service provided to soybean growers across this region. And John Losey and Vaughn presented biological control of native pests valued at $4.5 billion per year. If this included non-native pests such as soybean aphid, our study shows that this may be a very conservative estimate in terms of the total biocontrol service that's supplied across agricultural landscapes. We found that the value of biological control was highest when growers relied only on natural control, and it was reduced but still present under an IPM scenario. We found that landscape changes could influence the amount of ecosystem services that growers receive, and that increasing corn for biofuel production is likely to decrease the amount of biological control supplied to soybean farmers. And finally, as we look forward to ethanol production, there are many different potential sources of ethanol, and as we look at potential cellulosic feedstocks such as switchgrass or native prairie, these may be feedstocks where you're going to increase diversity in the landscape, which we've shown to increase biological control service supplied to soybean. So there may be some win-win scenarios for biofuels and soybean aphid biological control. And so I would like to acknowledge all my collaborators on these studies, all of the undergraduate and technical support that we've had in the field, as well as the Landis Lab and all of our funding sources. Thank you very much.
There's time for some questions.
Yes.
Did you collect data in 2007?
The question was, did I collect field data in 2007? We did not collect field data, unfortunately, in 2007. So what we did to get our BSI values was we increased corn in each of our 23 field sites, our landscapes that we sampled in 2005 and 2006, and then we estimated biological control service based on the relationship between corn proportion and BSI.
As soybean fields decline in the landscape, they'll become probably further and further apart from each other. So would you expect the spatial effects to have a reduction on aphid populations that could counteract?
That's a good question. The question was, if soybean production decreases in landscape, would we expect this landscape change to influence soybean aphid populations? Soybean aphid utilizes two host plants to complete its development. One is actually buckthorn species, which occur, you know, in a lot of forested areas, disturbed areas, and then it also utilizes soybean. So as soybean is reduced, that would be one part of it. But as we continue to have lots and lots of buckthorn, and they seem to be able to disperse at very large spatial scales, I don't know if the soybean could hide in space very well.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's any kind of impacts in terms of your model. if a lot of the biocontrol services are actually being provisioned by native habitat, and you actually have a switch from one type of agriculture to corn agriculture, and so maybe you're overestimating in terms of that, that value of biocontrol services given that that disconnect, I guess, in the model.
That's a good question. The question was, whether all agricultural habitats may have the same influence on biocontrol service, and so would replacing other agricultural habitats by corn maybe not really have a significant effect unless corn was replacing a natural habitat. In the case of 2007, most of the corn acreage actually took away from soybean, and so we looked at the relationship between biological control services and proportion soybean and biocontrol services versus proportion corn. And we found for soybean there was not a significant effect of overall soybean in the landscape versus biological control, whereas for corn there was this negative effect. So it doesn't seem like in this particular case these two habitats are equivalent in terms of their ability to support beneficial insects that occur in soybean. It may be because of the differences in aphid populations in corn and soybean, but I think you're right. Natural habitats are going to provide a lot of resources to natural enemies that neither corn or soybean do in terms of overwintering and some alternative prey and other resources. Thank you.